This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We've been having a lot of fun today, but also covering a lot of very serious issues, including COVID-19 and the ever-changing, ever-evolving science that we're trying to follow, and really just watching the Democrats fall deeper and deeper into denial about where their party is right now and what's going to happen in the midterms. Our last caller before we went to the break made mention that he thought this midterm was going to be one of the worst showings for Democrats ever in history. And I tend to agree. And you never want to get too excited. You never want to celebrate too quickly. But it really, the Baghdad Bob-like way that these Democrats are handling it, with no intention of course correcting, and I want to give credit here, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but to some members of the media who have been posing these questions in a way to Jen Psaki, to Nancy Pelosi, to Joe Biden, where they're going through all of the failures, and they're advocating for the American people by saying, you know, inflation's up 7%. Shelves are empty. COVID surging. What do you have to say about this? And they're forcing people like Nancy Pelosi and Jen Psaki and Joe Biden to go on record as thinking they're doing a good job. They're forcing them to tell us that they have no issue with where the country's headed. And that's the part of this that's going to be really tough for them in the midterms, is that it's one thing if everything sucks, but it's another thing to say that you have no issue with things sucking. Like, oh, no, this is fine. This is fine by me. Because then what people assume is, all right, so if we keep you in there, this is what we have in store. Like, you don't plan to change anything. And the mainstream media is kind of having an awakening. Now, that's a bit of a stretch. But they're pretending to be surprised that Joe Biden isn't what they thought he was going to be. And we've mentioned Stephen Miller a few times already today, but he's got a really good piece in Spectator. It's titled, Joe Biden Will Never Change. And he talks about this press conference. He says, the presser came at a time when a phenomenon is occurring in Biden-friendly media. Commentators are grappling with the realization that Joe Biden is not the competent and stable magic grandpa capable of uniting a fractured America with a whisper and a hug. That Joe Biden is the man the Biden campaign sold the pundits on. And that's absolutely true. And then at the end of it, he just says, but sadly, their ideal doesn't match the reality of who Joe Biden is, a man who once told an audience of African Americans that Mitt Romney would re-enslave them. There's no reason why the press couldn't have seen this coming. And so what we're seeing now from the administration's mouthpieces is it's embarrassing. And I want to play a cut here from Jen Psaki, because she's really got she's got her finger on the pulse here. She knows what Americans really want. And she's asked about whether or not this administration, their agenda, has gone too far left. And Joe Biden was asked this as well by Peter Ducey at the press conference. And it seems like they really don't think that they have. Let's play this cut, cut 11, please.
I just want you to respond to that and to the broader criticisms that the administration is being moved too far to the left, and that could present challenges down the road for you.
Well, I'm not going to respond to individual people in focus groups, but I will tell you that the president's view and our view is that His agenda is one that is broadly popular in the country among many progressives, but also among many moderates and, frankly, many Republicans who are maybe not sitting in this zip code, but are members of the public writ large.
If anything, it is the exact opposite, Jen. The only Republicans, and I'm using air quotes, that are excited or on board with your policies and your wacky agenda are Republicans that would be in the D.C. Beltway, are the Bill Kristols and the Jennifer Rubins. You're not going to go to like New Hampshire or you're not going to go to Texas or anything and find a Republican who says, oh, yeah, I'm on board. I think he's doing a great job. You're not even going to find an independent who's saying that right now. But they will not let go of this idea that they are doing the best job possible. And Nancy Pelosi went on a very strange rant. I have to play this as well. Let's play cut 16.
I've said to them, under this roof, figuratively or actually, is the greatest collection of intellect, integrity, and imagination for doing the right thing for the American people. I have great confidence in the integrity of my members. They are remarkable. So when people talk about, well, somebody might do this and somebody, I trust our members.
Greatest intellects? AOC, Eric Swalwell, do I have this right?
By the way, the greatest intellects don't say grave confidence in my contestante or whatever.
And then she, you know, one of Nancy Pelosi's old standbys is, it's for the children. Let's hear cut 17.
My whole mission in Congress is about the children, for the children. As you heard me say, you're in the arena, you have to be prepared to take a punch. You have to be prepared to throw a punch for the children. For the children.
Round one, fight!
She's lost it.
For the children.
She sounds like, oh, I don't mean this to be mean, but she sounds like, what's that kid's story? Gretel?
Hansel and Gretel, yes.
It's for the children. Come into the house full of the candy. It's for the children.
She sounds scary. And also, what are you...
Oh, yeah, she's talking about punching kids, I believe. What are you talking about?
What are you Democrats... Oh, by the way, speaking of, you know, she's talking about punching. You know, you gotta punch for the children. And then you got Rob Reich yesterday about backhanding Kristen Sinema. I mean, is there something... Can we tamp down on the violent rhetoric? I'm not saying you guys are responsible for any violence, but you're definitely supplying the ammunition. As Kamala Harris might say.
Can we get those t-shirts at the Howie Carr store? Throw a punch for the kids.
They're throwing punches for the kids. Rob Reich is suggesting they give Kristen Sinema the back of their hand. By the way, that was another thing we weaponized. We're not only weaponizing the freight train thefts, we're also weaponizing Robert Reich's own tweets. We're taking them out of context by, you know, displaying the entire tweet. We are seizing and weaponizing.
You're going to the moon!
But what are they doing for the children? Masking them up and indoctrinating them with BS?
Ask up, throw a punch.
Richard, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Richard.
I hadn't heard that about Robert Reich, but he's so short that if he gave her a backhander, it might hit her in the belly button. Anyway, anyway, bada boom. Hey, I wanted to mention one thing that it troubles me, and that's when people talk about the rate of inflation being at 7%. Inflation, the rate of inflation doesn't include food. Why? And energy. The two biggest factors in the cost of living for most people. So if you add that in, the real rate of inflation is probably about 15% and maybe even closer to 20% with what's happened to the cost of fuel and food the last 6 months or so. So that means that for somebody who's making $50,000 a year, a family, that's taking $7,500 a year out of their purchasing power. That's more than 7%.
Yeah. And no, that's a very, very good point, Richard. And, you know, the way Joe Biden wants to frame this when he talks about inflation, and it's very frustrating because I don't claim to be a Nobel laureate economist or an expert or anything. But you figure, okay, so you guys passed a lot of big spending bills and it seems to have made inflation worse. The economy is inflated with all of this money that you're pouring into it. And your response is we need Build Back Better. We need more money. And then you, in the same breath, you tell us that the money that was passed in the, what was that pan? The copper pan? Was it the cast iron pan? No, the American Rescue pan. The money that was passed in the American Rescue pan, you don't even know where half of it is. You keep saying, oh, so we gave it to the states. Some of them aren't doing their job. And yet you want to put more money into this economy. And then when you're confronted with the numbers, you know who you blame? You blame the companies that are trying to survive. You blame the meat conglomerates or the meat oligarchs, the big four. Everything's like, they want to call us conspiracy theorists. They have a pretty reasonable explanation for why this inflation is happening. And they're like, oh, those evil meat people. They are screwing the little man.
The heads of the four meat families.
Yeah, they think they're all sitting there twirling their mustaches like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to raise the prices on all the steak and the hamburger meat and make them get beans and ice cream instead. I mean, it's just absurd. But they expect people to believe that. And that's something that every time I watch either Psaki, Pelosi, Biden, it's amazing how many people they can blame. You know, and they never run out of, even when you think you've got them cornered, like, oh, they got to take responsibility for this. This is all their ideas coming home to roost. Nope, they find somebody else. It's the Russians. It's the Republicans. It's Mitch McConnell. It's Donald Trump. It's QAnon. It's, who am I forgetting? It's the meat conglomerates. I know I'm forgetting somebody here.
Yeah, I remember my brother, one of his friends one time, was just a serial complainer about everything. And I just remember this. My brother looked at him. He was like, you know, at some point, it's not the rest of the world.
Yeah. At some point, it's you.
Yeah.
At some point, it's you. And, you know, Howie says this quote a lot. Being a Democrat means never having to say you're sorry. But being a Democrat also means being able to come up with the worst ideas and then blame everyone else when they go wrong. These are all Joe Biden's ideas. Everything he did from the day he stepped into office was to spite Trump. He had to reverse everything that Trump did. And all he's proving throughout the last 10 months, all that he has proved is that Trump had some really good policies. Because if this is what doing the opposite of Trump's policies looks like, I'm going to say we had a pretty stable genius in the White House. All right, we'll be right back. We'll take your calls. And I do want to read, there's one line of this piece. It's after COVID, never again, that really stuck out to me. And I want to read it and get your guys' take on it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. I oftentimes tell people, if you hear me talking about this, you've been thinking about it for a long time, the first thing you should do is go to PerfectSmiles.com and watch the videos, because you'll hear from people how much having their teeth fixed changed their life. When Dr. Houghton fixes your teeth and your smile, he really builds your self-confidence. And when you have a smile that you're proud of, it not only builds your confidence in your personal life, but also in your professional life. So when you're at work, you're more confident, and confidence is key. The better you look, the better you feel. That helps every aspect of your life. Every interaction you have daily comes down to how you feel about yourself. And if you're proud of your smile, if you're not afraid to smile, you're going to smile more. And everything in life just becomes a lot easier. It's a new year. You have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles, but you never called, well, now's the time. This is your sign. It's the year to take care of yourself. You deserve it. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're located off Route 3. They have plenty of parking. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. We'll be right back. We'll continue to take your calls. 844-500-4242. We should probably talk about Tom Hanks, too, and how The Simpsons have done it again. when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us. We have a lot to discuss here. Let's do the poll question first. Today's poll question is brought to you by Bonner Private Wines. Real red wine, not chemically processed, so that means no morning regrets, just great taste. Made in small batches from family wineries throughout the world. You can't get Bonner wines at your local liquor store. If you've been hearing me talk about it and you're interested, you can go to Bonner Private. You can go to BONNERPrivateWines.com/grace. And if you put in the /grace, it will take you there. You'll join the membership and you'll also get $60 off your purchase. This is really great wine. It's not one of those things where they just slap a label on it. They really go the extra mile at Bonner Wines. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's most satisfied with the Biden presidency thus far? China, Russia, or Hunter?
It's tough. They've all made out so well. I'm going to say China.
China in the lead at 50%. 28% say Hunter. 22% say Russia.
All right.
In this poll, I think Russia will prevail in the long term.
Yes, probably. And
much
you can
like
say,
Ukraine.
Yes. Biden's inaugural committee will mark his first anniversary in office by blanketing today's airwaves from breakfast to evening news to prime time with a video promoting a recovering, resilient America. The video is narrated by Tom Hanks, and I want to talk about this for two reasons. One is because they're trying to use Tom Hanks as a way to lend credibility to this false alternate universe where things are going well for the Biden administration. They're hoping that, you know, Tom Hanks will make them look cool or whatever, or that people still listen to celebrities. But the weird thing is that The Simpsons predicted this, which is like, what, the 400th time they've predicted something? And it's come true. Let's play Cut 12.
Hello, I'm Tom Hanks. The U.S. government has lost its credibility, so it's borrowing some of mine.
Tussle my hair, Mr. Hanks.
Sure thing, son. Now, I'm pleased to tell you all about the new Grand Canyon. Coming this weekend, it's east of Shelbyville and south of Capital City.
That's where Springfield is!
It's nowhere near where anything is or ever was. This is Tom Hanks saying, if you're going to pick a government to trust, why not this one?
Why do they even need to make a video? They should just use that. They should absolutely just lift that. Ask whoever create. I don't know who runs The Simpsons.
Matt Groening.
There you go. Ask him for permission. That is exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be Tom Hanks lying to people for 2 minutes. The video is narrated by Tom Hanks, who is part of Biden's inaugural festivities and features cameos by everyday Americans. A UPS driver, a Teamster from Michigan, and a bed and breakfast owner in Wisconsin. Regular Americans just trying to put three squares on their table every day.
It's going to feature regular Americans, a cheese shop owner in Cambridge, a yacht club owner in Bowie Bay, Maryland.
Yeah, why not show John Kerry? He's a regular everyday American. It's so absurd that they think this stuff still works. I don't think it's going to have any effect, but I love that Tom Hanks is going to be in this because it just really solidifies for me that celebrities are so ridiculous. And I think of the Sebastian Maniscalco. Aren't you embarrassed? I don't care how much money they offered me. I would say no to this. I'd be like, I don't want to be associated with you. Worst president since Jimmy Carter.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Actually, after this week, way worse than Jimmy Carter. You can't use my voice. That's what I would say if I were Tom Hanks. All right, when we get back, I have an incredible video I just saw on Twitter of a student speaking out against these mask mandates. Really good stuff. We'll be right back with that. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, I just saw a cut that really moved me. Garner Goldsmith, who's one of our best listeners, just tagged me in this on Twitter. And I have to play it. I also think that once I do play this, we are going to have a lot of people who want to discuss it. This young woman is, her name, I believe, is Sophie Corcoran. And she was on the news in Britain talking about how if people miss this, it happened pretty quickly. It was a pretty quick turnaround. Boris Johnson got caught, you know, trying to have a BYOB party with some of his staff. And so then once he got caught, I think he was just so mortified by his own hypocrisy that he decided to change things. And now suddenly, you know, restrictions are being lifted, masks are being lifted. And there's a part of it where people go, oh, this is great. Thanks so much. We're so excited. But then there's another part of it where people say, wait, if it was that easy for you to lift all of this, if you could do it that quickly just because you made a stupid mistake, then how much of this was serious to begin with? How much of this was necessary? And when you hit that point where you say how much of this was necessary, then you start drilling down on how much was lost because of all of this. Time, experiences, education, mental health. A lot of it was destroyed because these petty tyrants thought they knew better, or they wanted to exercise their control, or they wanted to see how far they could get people to bend, and how far they could get people to constantly obey their every demands. And so as nice as it is to see these things being lifted, I think it's really, really hard for people to wrap their heads around the fact that so many of us, whether it's in America or in England or wherever it is, that so many of us went along with this for as long as we did. And this woman, Sophie Corcoran, was on TV and she was explaining the damage that this has done to her generation. And she's very well spoken. Let's play the first cut where she kind of lays out how she's happy about the mask being lifted, but she can't get over what was lost in this process.
There was zero evidence that those face masks would be in schools. There have been studies that show that because of the types of face masks that we, because I'm going to say we, because I was in schools when all of these policies were enacted, the face masks that we would have are not medical grade face masks, therefore they would make no difference to transmission. But what I found out when I was in the classroom, and most commentators have never been able to speak on this because they quite frankly didn't experience it, so you can hear it from me the first. There were teachers that were sitting there that would, you know, be yelling at the poor year sevens about their face masks more than they would be teaching them. Those shy kids that would sit at the back of the class that would never speak, it was a massive barrier to them to impact their learning. They were already terrified, didn't want to speak out, and now they've got another barrier to engaging their learning. Communication problems were impossible. I'm going to be honest with you, most of the time when we were in school, we took them off because we couldn't hear each other. They couldn't hear us, we couldn't hear them. You're in schools to learn, and the damage that they have done to my generation has been unbelievable. Like, I sat there in August.
The damage what's done?
That they've done to the rest of our lives, to our education. I sat there in August and literally watched my future crumble in front of my eyes.
Now, I want to bring something up here before we get to the second part where she really gets emotional. This speech element, the communication element, cannot be downplayed here. I read a story today about kids in speech therapy who are being told to keep their masks on. I was in speech therapy as a kid, only for like 2 years. I couldn't really say my R's, but I don't even understand the point of it if you have a mask on your face. The speech therapy teachers have masks and the students. It's absolutely absurd. And then you think about kids who struggle with hearing, and that's a whole nother element. But listen to, so this anchor says, you know, what do you mean the damage? And this really goes to show you the difference in what these kids have experienced versus people who haven't. And she made a point to mention that. She said, you know, I experienced it. A lot of you people haven't. When I think about my experience over the last 2 years, not a lot in my life that I did on the day-to-day basis changed. We didn't have to wear masks in this office. You know, I might have to wear one in the grocery store for 10 minutes, but I didn't go 8 hours wearing one. And listen to her response to this anchor.
Well, they cancelled my exams. So I got my exams cancelled once, went back and thought, no, you know what? This is not on. I'm not getting screwed over by the algorithm. I'm better than this. Got there, they cancelled them again. And I thought, nothing I can do anymore. So this makes me so angry. It literally ruined our lives. And nobody spoke about it at all. And the commentators, they had union reps come on and say, this is what the school should have put in place. And they didn't care about what this did to us. And this is the first time I've ever spoken about it on TV because I knew that I'd cry about it. But I literally watched and felt like my entire life was falling apart because of what this government did to young people. And nobody cares. Not one person has cared about children in this pandemic. They think, oh, let's throw... Why are we putting masks on them when people can go to football stadiums and they can go to theatres and play Nadeem Zahawi sitting there at the teaching awards with no mask, and yet we're disrespecting kids? This pandemic will finish. The damage this has done for us is forever. And we'll never get it back.
We'll never get it back. The damage is forever. I think that is the biggest takeaway, and I hate to end the week on such a negative note, but she's right. You don't get the chance to live your life again, you know, to have seventh grade over, eighth grade over. And it was more than masks, you know, we totally took away entire experiences. And I saw a tweet today, and I know I keep referencing social media, but there was a lot of great stuff. Every once in a while, you stumble across some gems. There was a tweet today. It was just by a random person, and he was replying back to some crazy story. I don't know if it was about masks or, you know, maybe it was a libs of TikTok where the person identifies as a bird or whatever. And I think he was joking, but he really hit on something that I agree with. He wrote, I'm going to tell my kids to get into psychology or to be a psychiatrist because the amount of people who will need professional help in the future is about to explode. And if you think kids are resilient just because they've had no choice but to obey these ludicrous rules, then you don't understand what's happening. And I keep referencing this piece. It was an American Thinker, After COVID, Never Again. I just want to read you a couple lines that I thought were important. Take this shameful moment in the history of nation states once committed to liberty and use it to advantage by teaching your children and grandchildren how quickly freedom can be smothered by politicians and bureaucrats with the best intentions, in quotes. I'm skipping around. What is sometimes overlooked, however, is that no system created by humans is capable of protecting freedom without constant pushback from the people whose freedom is at stake. Political bureaucracy, by its nature, drains morality from its workforce. Now, that idea of constantly pushing back is kind of reminds me of that old Ronald Reagan quote about freedom, where he says, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. And it seems like a lot of people during this, myself included, we got lazy. We were okay being told what to do. The first lessons politicians learn is that slogans work. Unfortunately, this lesson teaches them that propaganda is more important than objective truth. Repetition of certain selected words, follow the science, come to mind, anybody? Becomes more valuable than complex nuance. What 2 years of COVID-1984 should have taught people by now is that bureaucracies can never be trusted to police themselves for our protection. When the powerful treat the powerless as meaningless statistics to be manipulated and kept in the dark, think of that young woman. She said nobody cared. Nobody cared. Then it is up to the powerless to determine how much tyranny they are willing to endure before deciding they finally had enough. I think most people have had enough, but I wanted to play that because there's been a few cuts during the last 2 years that really hit me and pull at my heartstrings because they show you how much suffering people have gone through, needless suffering during this. One of them was one of the guys who was a restaurant owner, and they were telling him that they were hitting him with all these fines for having tables outside, but he couldn't have outdoor eating unless he did X, Y, Z. I don't even remember what it was, but he lost his mind on this health inspector. And you could hear the pain in his voice, where he was just being crushed by all of this. And I hear that same pain in that young woman's voice, where we've allowed these idiots, and that's what they are. You look at Boris Johnson, you look at Nancy Pelosi, you look at these fools. We've allowed them to crush the most vulnerable people in our societies, the youth. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, they want to talk about history will judge, you know, you'll be like George Wallace if you don't vote for Joe Biden's latest idea. History will be very judgmental of a lot of people, especially during this 2 years. And I don't think it's going to be people who didn't vote for the Voting Rights Act or the For the People Act. I think it's going to be for people who allowed this nonsense to go on and promoted it. Should we do a quick, just to lighten it up, a quick Crazy Karen? Let's do a quick Crazy Karen here.
Her name could be Gina or Beth. She just wants a latte.
I'm putting you on citizen's arrest right now.
Are you serious? For what?
But with a slight inconvenience, she grows angry and outraged.
I have a right to sue you for harassing me, the manager, and this entire company.
And a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Hey, I have seen you around this neighborhood too many times. This is ridiculous.
She becomes the Crazy Karen.
You being a bitch is gonna help?
I didn't say anything.
I don't know. Calm down. Calm down.
Ma'am, I'm trying to...
All right, this is the point of the show, usually on Fridays, where we check in with the Karens. Jared, give us an update.
All right, well, we're going to start off with, I call this one Classic Car Karen. You know, Joe Biden's a car guy.
He is.
Apparently, this Karen is not. This was a post on a social app. I don't know which one in particular. Older model car parked on local street. So this Karen posted a picture of, looks like a black SUV of some kind. I don't know the make or whatever. Can someone do something about this? I've tried the police and the office to no avail. We pay a lot of money to live in this neighborhood. It's outrageous that we should have to look at cars with such a low Kelly Blue Book value.
Okay, so the car is upsetting her.
Yes, the car upsets her.
Just the sight of it.
The sight of it, having to look at a car with a low Kelly Blue Book value. And I'm looking at the car. It's an older model car, but it's complete. There are no issues. It's not dirty. Apparently, it's just too poor for her.
Well, this
neighborhood.
You know, we'll keep her in our thoughts. We hope they figure that out.
Thoughts and prayers to Classic Car Karen. This is a great one. Restaurants and dog parks always bring out the best in
dog
the Karens.
Dog parks. Yeah, what is up with that? The Karens are like so crazy about the dog parks.
Well, this is great. I call this one Italian Instagram Karen. This is a review she left. I am giving 1 star because of the cheap management and customer service. I heard the food was very good, so I went to try. Me and the BF got the calamari, spaghetti alla vongole, and gnocchi. All were very delicious.
Good.
I was actually so impressed that when the manager came to ask us how everything tasted, I told her it was some of the best Italian food I've had, and I told her I'm going to post about it on Instagram, where I have over 11,000 followers, and a lot of them in the area. She seemed very happy about it. I was wrong.
It's taken a turn for the worse. What happened? The food was good. The Italian food was good. You were going to post about it. What happened?
I thought she would be grateful for the free advertising, but when the check came, there was literally no discount at all.
Oh, no!
I thought at least one of the entrees would be taken off, but they didn't even take off the calamari or even the drinks.
God, these...
How many meals, Mr. Speaker? How many meals?
These influencers, man, they are on a power trip. You know, like no one forced you to eat the calamari, blah, 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 blah. You came to that restaurant. I've heard about this happening, Jared, where influencers will go to like a resort and they'll expect everything to be comped. Oh, I'll post about it. And some of these resorts are like, we don't care if you post about it. We've got plenty of customers. Thanks, but no thanks.
South Park did a great episode about Yelp reviewers.
Yelp reviewers. That was one of my favorite.
The same thing. Yeah, they were going to the restaurants and they were Yelp reviewers. And the restaurant owners were so terrified that they'd get a bad review.
And that's the real problem with reviews when you get down to it, is that people oftentimes, it's human nature, you will leave negative reviews, but you don't often seek out a restaurant's page to leave a positive review. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how the cookie crumbles. That's how the calamari crumbles, unfortunately.
Crumbly cookies, negative stars.
I will not be back. I will not be giving you my business ever again. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with Howard Lawrence Carr. I cannot wait to talk to him and get his take on all of today's craziness. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howard Lawrence Carr, thank you so much for joining the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
What do you got on your mind today, Howie? What are you going to spend the next couple hours talking about?
Well, I was just thinking about meatloaf as you were playing that intro. I mean, I was listening to the my favorite song, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, and I heard Phil Rizzuto, the former New York Yankee shortstop Scooter, and you know he's in the song, and I had to order his book of poetry. It's the only book of poetry I've ever bought, Grace.
Oh, I know this book.
Oh, holy cow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to be reading us some passages from that today?
You know, I could do that, but I don't have the whole book. You know, the thing is, they only sold 15,000. I just read about it. I have one in storage in Needham since I downsized, but now I own two because I ordered one today for $1.45.
Well, there you go.
Off of the used bookstore.
Very
but it's
good.
He was great, and that's a great song too. And that's one of the great music videos. I think that's one of the five best music videos of all time.
So you were a big Meatloaf fan. Jared was too.
No, I wasn't a big Meatloaf fan, but I mean, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I mean, some people, you know, there's some songs that are so good that it doesn't matter what else they did. You know, they will live forever on the basis of one song. And he had a few good songs, but especially Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
That's a great song because it's actually like five songs within a song. It's great.
Right, right. I went into my cryo today. I do the 4 minutes and the cold thing, and usually I do 4 minute songs because that's how long I go in for. And the kid that does it says, "This is a lot longer than 4 minutes." And I said, "Yeah, but I think we're going to get to Phil Rizzuto's first verses." And we did.
Very good. All right, Howie Carr's got a big show planned, everyone. Don't go anywhere. Happy Friday. We'll be back on Monday. This is Grace Curley Show. I never had a girl. Look.